My daughter from Texas.
Order. Let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this July meeting of the Southern Nevada Board of Health Advisory Committee. Board, so this portion of the agenda is reserved for public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address the board?
Good morning.
Morning.
Regina Ellis, SEIU. I want to share some information with you that we shared with the Board of Health. We wanted you to know that the finance department has been in a dire situation since they lost their manager, and that area is currently being reorganized. So that is currently going on. The HR department has had a reorganization and one employee has been laid off. We want you to know that in reference to primary care, we have a situation where we have an advanced practice nurse, a pediatric nurse practitioner who's working as an RN. And because the family health clinic, the kids clinic was closed. So we believe that because there is a need in the community for children to receive health care, physicals, exams, she would be the person who would be able to provide care to those children, and she is not working in that capacity at this time. Let's see. I think that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina.
Thank you.
Has everyone had an opportunity to review the agenda for this meeting?
Mr. Chair, would you close public comment?
Oh, yeah. Is there anybody else wishing to provide public comment at this time? If not, we'll close this public comment period. Okay. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the agenda?
Yes.
Anyone want to move to accept?
I move to second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let's move on to the consent agenda. Let's take a moment to review the meetings of the minute meetings from our April the 9th meeting.
How do we do that?
I'll accept a move to accept the minutes at any time.
Yes, there is a comment.
Okay.
So on page 2 of 3, number 3 under 7, okay. We discussed, and I brought this up with Ms. Wells, we had discussed with, and Ms. Bradley, if you remember, how during October 1, it was inappropriate communications as a nun really released regarding HIPAA from where our victims were being kept and families trying to locate them, if you remember that. And here it says that there were no recommendations to the Southern Nevada Health District Board, but my feelings were is it was going to go forward so that we could evaluate and analyze that situation and how we could improve it.
Yeah.
Would that be an amendment then to the minutes?
That would probably be an amendment.
Yeah.
That would be an amendment to the minutes, then.
It would be. I recall the discussion. I don't recall it being a formal recommendation to the full board. My recollection is that there was communication between you and Dr. Iser regarding the disconnect, the communication disconnect. Dr. Osgood made comments about HIPAA and the difficulties in communication and the problems that ensued from that.
Well, in that case, I'd like to correct that error.
Okay.
And send a motion forward or a recommendation, I guess is what it would be called, so that the health board would reevaluate and look at our process.
Are we too early?
Okay.
Yeah, it probably is. Yep.
We are addressing that, but things are in such a... They're in infancy stage right now, and there are a lot of discussions that are going on among community partners and the various hospitals in town regarding October 1, mm-hmm. Regarding EMS, regarding preparedness, and what we can do to move forward on a more cohesive basis. But right now, it's too premature to discuss the findings. Not that there have been any formal findings.
Right.
We're still very much in the development stage. But well, there is a recognition that the communication for HIPAA, the communication for transportation, the communication overall for preparedness under such circumstances needs to be enhanced.
I don't know if that addresses what you're...
Yeah.
It does not.
It doesn't.
So, I mean, I'm glad they're working on it, but I feel like they need to know this board took an interest in that and
okay,
we're moving that
sure.
as a recommendation. And I'd like some feedback once, even though they're analyzing, when they get some responses, maybe
sure.
they can send back to us at appropriate time.
Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
I think what we wanted was, as you progress, to give us feedback.
Yes,
each
and we
time.
Would do that.
And that's what we wanted in the minutes, I thought.
Okay.
Great.
Understood.
So I so recommend we amend the minutes to reflect that.
Very well.
Okay.
Okay, so we have two things here. Dr. Osgood or Tina, can you state clearly exactly what you want the minutes to be amended to say?
I will try.
Okay.
So during the October 1 incident, there was poor communication to where victims and families could connect or the shared information. And therefore, it caused an extended amount of time for people to be able to locate loved ones or to even know where they were taken. Because, and people kept saying, well, I can't tell you that HIPAA doesn't allow me to tell, and that's not really the case. So I don't know if that's clear to y'all. It's clear to me, but
it is.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, and Dr. Osgood, you move that language be amended to our meeting minutes for April the 9th.
Yes, with the sentence in there that says that you people will report back to us at each, you know, we only meet quarterly, so give us a quarterly progress.
Sure, absolutely. And we can, as Annette mentioned, we've continued to have a series of meetings with Metro, with the hospitals, and so on, because immediately following the 1 October incident, Jeff Quinn and our emergency preparedness folks here at the district had worked aggressively to get patient information, exactly what you're mentioning, Tina, to connect folks, and a few of the hospitals were resistant to even give that to us. So there's a lot of issues that we have to fix.
I do want to include the Sam Boyd Stadium or wherever they took a lot of patients or a lot of family members were there.
Yes.
It was a kind
Thomas
of a...
Mac.
Thank you. Wherever that location
Thomas
was.
Mac, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was there.
Okay. So we have some amended language with a motion to accept that language and add to the minutes. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now, with that, anyone opposed? Okay, with that being done, we need a motion to either accept or oppose the minutes as they have been amended.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Just for clarification, this last motion was to approve the minutes as they have just been amended, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Any idea how you get back to the thing? How do you get back?
Gotta ask the IT guy. Well, yours doesn't have the thing that allows you to go back.
Doesn't have the thing to get up there.
Yeah, mine does, but yours doesn't for some reason.
Okay, well, we'll forget this then.
Well, here. Well, I got a. Well, you have one.
Okay.
Okay, moving on in the agenda. Reports for reports, discussion, and action portion of our agenda. The first thing is review and accept the recommendation of the Southern Nevada Board of Health at-large member selection committee meeting from May the 22nd, 2018, administer oath of office to new member. So,
I just can't get anything in there. I'll try to very deep that way. Thanks.
Okay, so I'd like to direct the staff to introduce the report and the recommendation of the Board of Health.
Just read these recommendations.
Sure, be happy to. The at-large selection committee recommended that the physician appointee be Dr. Kenneth Osgood.
Do we have to do a...
Or just read through the list and you go, okay. The registered nurse representative would be yourself, Michael Collins, and the environmental health representative would be David Walks.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that Mr. Walks is, I have been introduced to Mr. Walks, he is here, and is there a, do we need to have discussion or just simply either move to accept or nominee or?
That would be the board's choice. If you are in agreement with the recommendations, then you can simply have a discussion or you can go right to vote. At some point, you're going to have to vote to approve each of these. So you can approve them en masse, mm-hmm. all three at the same time, or you can approve them separately.
Okay. So I think we should probably approve them en masse. Everyone, did you receive the recommendation of the board in your email? I know I did. And along with that, we got the resume of Mr. Watts. Did you have an opportunity to look at that?
I did not.
I only sent the resume to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So I looked over Mr. Watts' resume. He is thoroughly qualified to assume the position that was formerly held by Mr. Tim Jones for a lot of years. I'd like to give Mr. Watts an opportunity to come up and just briefly introduce himself to the board. Just come up, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's my pleasure and honor to be here. Just briefly, I've been in Las Vegas since 1989, and the majority of that in the food and beverage industry. My degree is from UNLV, Hotel Restaurant Administration. I've operated my own restaurant establishments, but for the past 17 years, I've essentially been a beverage director at large nightclubs here in Las Vegas, and I currently work in the same capacity. I've always worked hand in hand with the health district to ensure not just the safety of our guests, but the knowledge and information aspect for my staff, and this would be a tremendous honor, and it is a tremendous honor for me, and I look forward to working with everybody.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Can you tell me again what position it is that he's covering?
This environmental.
I'm environmental health.
Environmental.
Yeah.
It's putting go. Okay.
So you want me to make a motion that we accept the new membership en masse?
Yes. In the interest of time. Would there be any reason why, does anyone have any objection to any of the nominees?
At
At this moment in time, no, I don't particularly.
So also in the interest of time, it would probably be expedient for us to just vote on all three members at once, if we can get a motion like that.
I thought that's what I just did. I make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Welcome, Mr. Watts. Come up and have a seat.
David Wax.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Protect and defend.
Protect and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the state of Nevada.
Of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
And that I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty.
Allegiance and loyalty.
To the same.
To the same.
Any ordinance?
Any ordinance?
Resolution or any law?
Resolution or any law?
Of any state?
Of any state?
Notwithstanding?
Notwithstanding.
And that I?
That I?
Will well and faithfully perform?
Will well and faithfully perform?
All the duties of a member?
All the duties of a member?
Of the Southern Nevada District?
Of the Southern Nevada District?
Public health?
Public health?
Advisory board?
Advisory board?
On which?
On which?
I'm about to enter?
I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Okay, the next item on the agenda is accept recommendations of the Southern Nevada Board of Health nomination of officers, meeting from June the 25th, 2018, for fiscal year 2018 and 2019.
I so move.
Second.
I'll second.
Is there all opposed? I mean, is it all in favor?
Aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? The next item on the agenda is the Advisory Board of Health positions for chair and vice chair. We want to direct the staff to take any action accordingly. Is there any?
Is that asking?
We've already.
I think he's still the chair, yes. And Ken is the
yes.
Vice chair. So the
what happened was is they nominated again. They accepted the recommendations. They nominations officers forum went out. Two came back, one from myself, one from Mr. Osgood, and the nominations committee or the officers committee. They nominated myself for vice chair. And Michael Collins for chair. And obviously that's going to go to the full Board of Health on the next meeting. However, it comes back to us for any discussion or if we accept the nominations.
That's exactly right, yes.
Well, I make a motion to accept.
So we don't have any action item.
We don't need to do any action. It's just a discussion item for us at this point. And then the full board will make their recommend, or they will vote on their meeting. Their meeting is July the 28th. So we'll know at our October meeting.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah, I do have a question in reference to that, and I may be ignorant to this, but they just made the recommendations in reference to myself and Michael Collins being chair and vice chair. What was such the quick turnaround in needing to nominate again? Is this because of a different fiscal year or what? Because I'm lost.
I thought it was every 2 years, but
for the position, every 2 years is for the position to be seated. The chair and vice chair are
every fiscal year.
Okay,
gotcha.
Did you say the meeting was July the 28th?
26th,
because that's a Saturday.
Yeah.
26th, okay.
And I'll be in South Dakota.
Enjoy.
Yeah. Okay, so item number three want to review, discuss the status of accreditation. We have a member of the staff that's going to give a presentation.
Yes, Emily will come up. Yes.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Good morning.
Get my PowerPoint here. Okay, so I am Emily Elzeftawi. I am the Executive Administrative Assistant, and I am also the Acting Accreditation Coordinator. All right, so we have finally been assigned a site visit date for everybody who's been following our accreditation process. So it does say tentative because we are still in the process of confirming our site visitors' availability, but those are the dates that the Public Health Advisory Board, the Public Health Accreditation Board has assigned to us. Okay, so just a quick review, since I know we have some new members. We have a site visit so that our site visit committee can understand the operational context of our documents, because every health district operates differently than the last health district. We want our site visitors to understand the documents that we've submitted and why they actually are unique to us. So then they can also learn the structure of our health district, since Southern Nevada Health District covers such a wide variety of subjects and locations. So we're actually quite unique amongst health districts in the country. Just a note for everybody, we're not allowed to provide meals or gifts to the site visit team. We will have snacks and drinks available for our staff, and they are allowed to partake in that, but we can't actually give them anything. They'll be purchasing their own lunches. They asked us to make sure we mention that. All right, so here are our official three site visitors. These have been vetted through our administration to ensure that there's no conflicts of interest. David Zulelis is the team chair. He is the deputy agency director for the Orange County Healthcare Agency, obviously out of California. He'll be in charge of domain 6, 7, 8, and 11. Renee Richia, and I apologize, I may be mispronouncing some of these names. She is our first team member. She's the acting deputy commissioner of administration for the Westchester County Department of Health, and you can see the domains that she will be working on. And our last member is Robert Hines. He is the staff analyst and the accreditation coordinator for the Houston Health Department. So my equivalent, essentially, for Houston Health. All right, so this was just a quick timeline. Obviously, it's July, so I'm giving the presentation for this board. We're actually also going to send out invitations to our community partners. That's anyone that's participated in the establishment of the original Shaw and CHIP, and then anyone who does business with the health district will also actually be seeing if they want to come in and sort of talk about us and give the site visitors an idea of what we do in conjunction with our partners in the community. All right, so next month I will be presenting a similar presentation to the Board of Health. We will actually also be having a presentation on the same site visit details that'll go out to all the staff. We've been sending out Accreditation Monday emails to all the staff via the public, the PIO office. And essentially that's just little blurbs of information for the staff to take a look at, kind of file for future reference. There's so much information, we don't want to bombard people and our staff. We want to make sure they get little bits and pieces of it. We will try and get a site staff-wide training done. It's about a 30-minute presentation through FAB, and some of our staff, if they're qualified, might actually receive a continuing education credit for that. It just basically explains in real short format what our staff visitors are coming to do and what they're going to be looking for. September, we're going to be creating, we'll have our domain teams meet. So as you guys are aware, we have staff members that are in charge of certain areas, and they're going to be meeting to review the documents that we submitted way back in February. Mm-hmm. It's been such a while, we want to make sure we go over that. We're going to create an information packet. PIO is going to be helping us with that. So it'll just be a quick hits list of the SNHD information, just something really quick, one page for our site visitors to take a look at. And then we will be creating, hopefully, in the interest of time, a mock site visit. We'll have sample interview questions, handouts for staff. We'll actually create the same for whoever joins us from the Board of Health and from this board as well. So we'll get that information to you guys. All right, and then in October, we will actually have the formal site visit. So our key participants are going to be me as your accreditation coordinator, our health district director, allergies. Dr. Iser will be a part of that. Our accreditation team, which is all of our staff that have participated, as well as our domain leads, our governing entity representatives. We have, we're going to have one Board of Health member, and we're going to ask for two volunteers from you guys to actually come and participate in the training and talk to our site visitors. Our community partners, who are yet to be determined, and then Marita Chilton, our accreditation specialist. She is employed by FAB, but she does work here in Las Vegas. Okay, so I'll try to go through this pretty quick for everybody. the site visit team will be here for two days. That's a Wednesday and Thursday. And they will be meeting with multiple staff. There will be multiple meetings happening at different times. So ordinarily on day one, what happens is they'll come and do a quick 30-minute tour of the district, this main building. They will not go into any of our confidential areas like OEDS. That first day, they'll usually have the community partner session. It's about an hour. They like to have anywhere from 10 to 15 participants. So we'll have that meeting hopefully here in this room or over in Lake Mead. And if they, in our meetings, decide that we need to submit any additional proof or evidence of our actions that meet the accreditation standards, we are actually given till 8 a.m. the next day to submit those. So it's not a lot of time on the turnaround, but we have been saving all of our documents. If we've gone through them, we've decided they don't quite match, we've saved them anyway. So hopefully that will be a pretty easy task for us. All right, so day two, I went backwards, sorry. Okay, so there are general agenda items. Everybody should have this in their backup, so I won't go through it all. But we do have on day two, this is our governing entity session, and it's usually from 10:30 to 11:30 on that second day, which is a Thursday. Our staff will mostly be available. If there are individual conflicts, as we sort of nail down the agenda, we will work around those. Same thing, if we have any areas that we need to submit additional documentation, we have until 8 a.m. the next day. Okay, so this is sort of just a review. Our Board of Health Chair, Marilyn Kirkpatrick, will be our Board of Health representative. As I said, I'm going to ask for two volunteers from this board. And all essentially that you're going to be doing is talking to our site visitors about what the role of the advisory board is, how you take community input, how you give feedback to the Board of Health, how they give feedback to you. So just in a operational context, what this board does. And I will give you guys a brief handout of what the documentation we've submitted so that you know what you're talking about, in addition to what you guys know, what we've submitted to demonstrate that what you guys do. All right, so these are their main five questions. Again, I won't go through them because they're in your backup. Basically, they just want to know the relationship between the governing entity and the health department, the staff, the stakeholders, et cetera. All right, so what happens is once they're all done, the site visitors will go and they will make they will give their findings to the Public Health Advisory Committee, which meets bimonthly. So they don't make a decision on our accreditation. The Public Health Accreditation Board will actually make that decision, but the site visit team takes their recommendations and their impressions, and they forward it on to the board. So it's good for us to make a good impression on the site visit team, knowing they don't make the decision, but we want them to go back and give positive messages. I don't know how I keep hitting the wrong button. I apologize. Need more coffee. Okay, so with that said, I know that was a lot of information thrown at you. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. I do.
I'm sure.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, let me state again what a wonderful job you have done.
Thank you.
Coming in and taking over right in the middle. This is wonderful. I'm actually excited about this whole thing and getting the accreditation. However, I know that the site visitors don't make the decision, they make the recommendation. And yes, we want to give a good impression. But do we know, as of right now, or have we researched those that make the decisions, them saying, yes, you're accredited, and no, you need to fix this, this, this? Have we went back, have we looked at that, so that way we don't make those mistakes or following the footsteps of those that have tried to get accredited and make those same mistakes? We can get around that, you know, by doing some counterintelligence, if you will.
Yep.
Have we done that?
Part of what we have done is talk to other districts that are either applying for accreditation, have applied, have been accredited, or for whatever reason have been temporarily held for their accreditation status. In talking to the Public Health Accreditation Board, they want to accredit all of the departments that submit. So when we talked to them, they actually stated they are not in the business of playing gotcha. Okay. So they want to actually, as much as possible, support the health districts that are seeking accreditation, especially because this is a voluntary process for us at this point. It may become mandatory later. But we have sort of worked out some of those areas that, and we have some areas that we know we're lacking already. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of what it is, where we are. We're still developing those areas, so we know that we probably will not get a fully demonstrated in that section, but it is an overall. So if we get the majority of our measures are fully demonstrated or mostly demonstrated, then it's okay if we have one or two areas that are not fully demonstrated, if they're okay. Partially demonstrated or not completely demonstrated. And they will make recommendations to us. Whether they choose to accredit us or put us on an action plan, they will tell us what areas we need to improve on immediately.
Okay. And what is the turnaround time in reference from them coming here and going back to the accreditation board and them making a decision?
It depends on the timeline. So our site visit is October 23rd and 24th. Mm-hmm. We will have up until that Friday, the 26th, to submit documentation. The turnaround is usually 30 to 60 days, okay. And then it has to catch where the advisory or the accreditation board actually meets. Because they meet every 2 months, it might be 30 days, it may be 60 days. And what happens is they'll make their decision, and then we will be notified after that 30-day period.
Okay.
All right. So we're looking at anywhere from 3 to 6 months again once our site visit is completed.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I have a question. If I understood right, they don't have a provisional approval
Correct.
Process? They
Correct.
Do not.
Correct. We are either accredited immediately or we are put on an action plan and given a very specific timeline and measures to
that's
correct.
Basically, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I guess it is sort of provisional. It's just we can't say we're accredited. We can say we're pending accreditation at that
point. I'm just wondering from their side, I've been through accreditation processes as a chairman of a hospital board and stuff like that, and they had provisional things that we needed to correct.
Yes.
And they've got the same process.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just to alert you, they happened to pick the two of the 10 days that my wife and I are going to be in the Andes on the Inca Trail. So I'm not going to be an option to be present. Sorry about that. I would have loved to participate, but my wife and I planned this a long time ago.
Well, you'll be having much more fun than you will.
Well, we'll be up at 11,000 feet, but we'll see what happens.
Excellent. Okay. Well, so I will put it before you that I would like to still ask for two members of this board to join us. And what I would ask you to do is contact Jackie with your information, and she'll actually get that to me, and we'll get you the informational sheets and everything else that we're developing to make sure the board knows what they're doing. So anybody else have any questions?
I will also be out of the country on my wedding anniversary during those dates.
Nice.
As well.
Well, congratulations early.
25 years.
Oh, extra congratulations. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, our next meeting is October the 9th, correct?
October 8th.
It's
October 8th.
Okay. October 8th.
And so I'd like to reserve a portion of that agenda for a discussion, and then the members can decide of who, with what two people will volunteer for that site visit at that meeting. So let's move on to item number four of the consent agenda, review and discussion of the quality improvement.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Jim Austey. I'm the Quality and Performance Improvement Coordinator for the Health District. I would like to do a presentation today on one of our websites that we're very proud of, and that is Healthy Southern Nevada. For some of you, this might be a little bit of a review. Others have not seen the website yet, and I'm going to encourage you after the meeting to spend some time reviewing the website, because it has a lot of information that is important to the operation of the health district. Healthy Southern Nevada has been in existence since 2014. And today I'm going to give you an update on the current website and show you a demonstration of the next version of the website that we've been working on. I think you'll be very excited by what we're doing. We currently have more than 7,000 frequent visitors to the website each year. These are individuals who return repeatedly to the website. So this is not unique visitors. This is our basis of individuals who use the website on a regular and ongoing basis. I was listening to a conversation the other day, and a professor at one of the nursing schools said that she requires all of her students to do a project, and that project is based on information that they obtain from the website. So they have to be in the website learning how to use the data and use that data for information that they provide in their schooling. This website has been described as the premier health website in Southern Nevada. We'll look at version one. I'd like to show you the community health indicators, a data scoring report that our vendor has given to us for use. We'll look at some demographic data, and we'll look at our resource library. Then we'll go on to version two, and I will give you a preview in the staging site where we're developing the next version of the website. We have 252 total health indicators on the website. They come from three primary sources. 42 of those health indicators are coming directly from the health district data that we're collecting, and those are uploaded to the website. 24 come from the state health indicators. We send information to the state, they turn around and publish it, and then that information is uploaded to our website. And the vast majority of our health indicators come from national curated websites, such as the American Community Survey. A majority of our health indicators are at the census place, zip codes, and also census tract. That makes this data very invaluable for doing research on what are our health needs as a community. We have them broken into eight topic areas. Those eight topic areas are health, economy, education, environment, government and politics, public safety, social environment, and transportation. That gives us a very broad view of how health is impacted, not only in specific health areas, but also in these other areas as well. So there's a connection between, as an example, what is our social environment and how does that impact our health on an ongoing basis. This is a data flow that we use to describe how the health data goes from one of these major sources and gets out to the website. And this is a data scoring report. It's not yet published on the website, but it's available for use. It takes all of the indicators and scores them and gives them a ranking from good to bad, basically. It's a summary of indicator comparisons, which can look at health-related issues in our community. And all 252 indicators have been scored. So if we wanted to see which ones we're doing well in, those are in those green trends. If we want to see the ones that we're having difficulty with, those are in the red areas. This will be invaluable as we're starting to work on the community health assessment. It's data that will be inputted into the assessment as a factor for which areas are our community going to work on.
Obviously. Can I ask a question?
Certainly.
So when it says workers who walk to work, and it says the state, I assume that means Nevada.
That is correct.
Rates of 3, which is not good. Is that a bad thing if people don't walk to work? Is that what that's saying to me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you want us all to walk to work?
We want to increase the number of people who can walk to work.
Who because can walk?
Can walk to work so that they're healthier.
I guess I'm still... So is it... That's rating people who could walk to work or who do walk to work?
That's rating people who currently walk to work in our community and comparing it to other communities around the state and nationally. And it's basically saying that we have very few people who walk to work. Right. Walking and bicycling are two healthy activities that we encourage as a health district. And the more people walk and bicycle to work or to play, they are going to be a healthier population.
Do you walk to work?
I do not, no. I'm in the red on that one. Yeah.
May I? I go to this site fairly regularly, and a suggestion in your new version is that people jump around on the site, and things and questions Latina just asked would be clarified if on the you had definitions on some of these slides that clarify for the non-health expert what you're talking about. You've got them in there. You've got the definitions on other slides, but yeah, you don't on all of them, and you might want to see where you could put definitions in. Just a suggestion.
We're working towards that direction. I can show you one of the things that we're doing that'll be helpful.
Okay. The other thing is that there's, as you work in that direction, and I'm sure you're already doing it, you got a lot of busy slides. The term busy I use is when your eye can't scan and doesn't know where to scan right, and you might want to simplify some of the slides and even put in 2 instead of 1 if you need to. As you improve the site.
Those are excellent suggestions. This is the method for doing that data scoring report. You can see that the red is bad and the green is good. We also have demographics in the website. They're based on a national organization called Claritas. We have 2018 data available in the website. And you can see here is a comparison of median household income by race and ethnicity for a zip code 89101, which is in the downtown area of Las Vegas. We We have a resource library. It's kind of buried. It's one of those things that we're working on highlighting it more so that people know about it. And this is a resource library of local reports, articles, maps. You can see that it's divided into topic areas, and it has a number of different topic areas that are useful to individuals. We have over 200 current articles in that resource library, and it's updated on a regular basis. Very pleased to talk to you just for a very few minutes about version 2 of the Healthy Southern Nevada website. We'll be able to load our community health needs assessment that we'll be working on with Dignity Hospital into the website so that it'll be available for people to look at. Obviously, it's under construction currently, but it will be available once it's been developed. Community health assessments will be available in the website. And how healthy is Southern Nevada? We did do one in 2016, and we'll be repeating that. That's a part of our accreditation requirement, that we do a periodic community health assessment. We also, in 2016, completed the Community Health Improvement Plan. That's not only on our current website, but it'll also be in the version 2 of the website and available for people to review. It also gives us an opportunity to update it when the new one comes out. One of the things that we'll be very pleased to be able to do is to provide the connecting point between what the community is asking us to look at as far as community health improvement and what the health district can provide. So our strategic plan will also be posted on the website, and everybody will be able to review that and see what the health district can provide as far as resources to help with our community health improvement. We seem to be having a little technical difficulty.
IT.
There we go. This was working, unfortunately. I don't know if we'll be able to get on today, and I know that your time is very important.
Jim, is this website accessible to the public?
It is not. This is our staging site. It's in a development phase. And so I wanted to be able to give you a preview of what's actually there. I can show you probably without get out of here for a second. Let's just close that. Yeah. This is the current website, and it will look similar, but it'll have some enhancements. I'm sorry that I can't show you those today. As Dr. Osgood has talked about, we recognize that there's a lot of information on the website, and it gets a little bit overwhelming at times, so we have attempted in the new version to streamline some of that information, reduce the amount of information that's available on our pages, and give it in a more user-friendly language. This is our latest mini dashboard. It is looking at air quality, and our intern, who's in the audience today, helped put this together. So I'm really pleased that he was able to make the presentation. That's Aman. He's an MPH intern who's been working on the website with us. And his interest has been air quality in the Las Vegas Valley. And so we thought we would post one of these mini dashboards to reflect some of the information that is currently happening. You can... please take a deeper dive, and if you have any questions at all, I would be very glad to answer those questions for you.
Jim, just one thing I might add to speak to Mr. McDowell's comment about the rider bike to or walker bike to work. We realize that's not possible for everyone, including myself, but one of the things that we do in looking at sort of the social determinants of health and environmental support, be it policies or ordinances or environmental changes that need to support healthy lifestyles, we do a lot of work in that area too. One example that relates to your comment is Chairman Kirkpatrick, myself, members from the RTC, directors of Public Works for Las Vegas and Henderson, and a member from the American Heart Association. There was a team of six of us, and there were nine states in April that went to Atlanta for a four-day Walkability Action Institute, which was focused on creating more walkable and bikeable environments around the country. We had to come up with an action plan, which we're currently in the process of refining and working to implement, to build on our complete streets efforts that a lot of the staff within our Office of Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion work on. So again, it may not be possible for everyone, but we're trying to create more environments that support more walking and biking and connection points between bike trails, so that for some individuals with those changes, it may support walking or biking to work or where you work or play. Won't help everyone in the community, but we're working neighborhood by neighborhood to try to make those changes to better support that.
Thank you for the further in-depth dialogue in reference to that. I appreciate it.
Just to add to that, for years we've been able to, I've used some of this websites, and we've got maps of parks, recreation, as you guys may know. We have by neighborhoods, by city. Henderson has probably the best one of where you can walk, where you can ride, how to avoid getting hit by a car,
exactly,
kind of thing. And we've had this for at least a decade now, available to us. It's just a matter of people accessing those maps and parks. About 8 or 9 years ago, with the something I do independent of the health district, we distributed healthy maps through doctor's offices for promoting promoting walking. Fantastic. And we used your sites.
Excellent.
I do have a comment. I'm really glad you said that the website is very user-friendly, and I do like your suggestion on giving more definitions. I do want, something I read recently, and so maybe it's, I read it so I could share it here, is that maybe it's millennials, but I'm getting better at it too. 90% of people will look at websites before they use the services that they're going to go I think that's real important, and so it makes me easier. But I do find it interesting that only 7,000 people, because we service more than that, use the website. So maybe we need to do a better job with all the users, making sure that they know it's available and how to access it. So I would think that everybody that comes into a heart failure clinic, we should direct them to that particular on the website and show them how to use it.
We have links between our websites, and so if someone were in a clinic, we have a Get Healthy Clark County website, which gives them a lot of behavioral information. They may also link from that website into our Healthy Southern Nevada website, which gives them a lot more data about what our community is looking like.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Are there any links that utilize social media in regards to the site? I mean, because you know what, for those of you that have Facebook or Instagram, predominantly Facebook, every day there's a wealth of material that talks about every particular topic, and it brings you to a link or to a website, and to help increase the 7,000 visitors per year, even if it's a healthy suggestion of the day, which people can click on momentarily, whether it be on their phone or on their desktop, and brings you to the website, will help increase awareness of the website, but I think it would probably be a pretty quick, dramatic jump in volume and impressions by thinking about some sort of link.
That's a great idea, and I've written it down, and I'll follow up on it.
Good suggestion. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And going along with that, just before Mr. Wax spoke, I was thinking if it would be a possibility to develop a Healthy Southern Nevada app for people living in Southern Nevada to use to access health information and the information like in this website.
It is accessible on a mobile device, so you could pull your smartphone out right now and go to the website.
So again, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for all your hard work. It looks like it's coming along really well.
Great.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
All right, so let's move on to item number 5 of the consent agenda, the discussion and approve recommendations of the Southern Nevada Board of Health. Were there items that we needed to look at?
The only recommendation that I can recall from today's meeting is to ensure that we follow up with the HIPAA-related issue.
Okay.
I have a new topic I wanted to ask a question. Do I do it now?
Yeah.
You people may not know the answer, but the use of marijuana is now legal. And it's being used extensively recreationally. Spent some time with some friends in Denver who are associated with the PTA there, and they have a wealth of information about the medical and public health problems they've got several years experience now, and they're seeing some very, very serious public health complications of that particular cultural change and legislative change. Since we now have that change has taken place here, do you people want, or have you had any? I'm asking this generically. My sense is that the health district is the one who should call to the attention, or keep data, or keep records about some of the public health issues that are associated with the use of recreational marijuana. I can get you some data sources if you need it. Or if you want to get into that direction, to be able to add that information to our Healthy Nevada, you know, whatever it is.
Sure.
What alerted me was that they are having, not quite, but very close to an epidemic of suicides among high school kids in the greater Denver area, the result of complications directly related to the public use and the recreational use of marijuana and associated things. So there's some mental health issues that have occurred. There's some huge amount of an increase in accidents and things like that. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I think it should be reported, and we ought to be collecting. Maybe it'd be appropriate for us to be collecting that kind of information as well.
Yeah, we thanks, Dr. Osgood. And any information you have, I'd be, if you could send it to me, I'd
okay, I'll try and network you with they've reached the point in Colorado where there are multiple organizations that are collecting information and have were very supportive initially of the legislation to make marijuana and associated things legal, who have reservations now.
Yeah, I've personally had some conversations, as have some of the staff, with representatives from health departments in Colorado, in Washington State, in Oregon.
Washington's having the same problems.
And we're, like we are in many other areas, in the area of recreational marijuana, we're working to build our capacity, because now there are more RFPs beginning to come out for opportunities to address some of these issues. Some of them are research focused, some of them are intervention program focused, but we've been looking at these to see, you know, if we have the capacity currently to throw our hat in the ring. Certainly poisonings, especially among edibles, with young kids, is a real problem across these states. And so we're kind of, it's good timing that you bring this up, because we're literally in the process of trying to address this more aggressively.
And I'll try and facilitate to get as much networking as I possibly can to add to your database.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Would the collection of this data be part of the recommendation to the full board?
I recommend that this is a public health issue, that the health districts for umpteen million years are the public body that's supposed to collect this kind of information and share it with the public to make sure the public has data. Smoking, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar.
Exactly. In fact, you mentioned smoking. There's a lot of pages from the tobacco control playbook over the years that I think really apply very nicely to recreational marijuana, so we're also looking at that as well.
You know, historically, by pure accident, I was involved with setting up the Sunset Free Clinic in the 60s when LSD was epidemic in Hollywood. And we at USC just decided that we ought to collect that data and let people know about it, and that's when everybody found out about the permanent mental health issues that came from LSD. And it came as a public health issue.
Thanks.
So, Mr. Chair, then can I get a motion for the two recommendations to go to the full board? Member Tommaso?
No, I was going to bring up another issue before he closed this section.
Okay, go ahead.
Actually, I'm going to lead up to a question, but just as a matter of background for the people in this room and on this board, there was a clean air initiative brought about in Mesquite, a group of people. For about 2 years now, they've approached city council to pass an ordinance to not allow smoking in the city limits. The city council refused to take it up on their agenda. And so they called themselves, I can't remember, a Clean Air Initiative group. They went out to put it on the ballot. They say it's clean air. Everybody wants clean air. What it did was it said you can't smoke a Mesquite except in your own home. That was it, period. It was challenged in the courts about 10 days ago by the businesses in Mesquite, and the judge issued an injunction against it. So even though they collected the signatures from the 1,600 people, voters, registered voters that they were supposed to collect them from, the judge says no, it was the initiative that they put out there was too vague, and it wasn't... I don't want to use the word truthful, but it didn't say everything that it should have said, that the law requires, the state of Nevada required. There's a question here. But here's where I'm leading this, going with this. So he took it off. In other words, it's not going to be part of the vote this coming election. But an interesting thing, one of the women who was part of this Clean Air Initiative got before city council about 2 weeks ago, and the councilman asked her, who's funding this Clean Air Initiative? She named a couple things, but one of the things she named was the Southern Nevada Health District. My question is, I'm sure she didn't mean this advisory board. She must have meant the health board itself. My question is, does anybody in this room know if that's true, that the Southern Nevada Health District is funding this Clean Air Initiative? That's basically my question.
Good question. We have been working in Mesquite, our tobacco control program, for, wow, like the last 10, 12 years with national partners on trying to push for clean air initiatives and build on the Nevada Clean Indoor Air Act, which was passed in 2006, which is a statewide Clean Indoor Air Act, to try to build on that at the local level. There was a lot of interest in Mesquite among the citizens. I'm fully aware of everything. You did a nice job of summarizing sort of where we're at. Our staff were very aware of the line that you don't cross as far as advocacy versus lobbying, where we have had grant funding from the CDC to, as I mentioned, build upon the Nevada Clean Indoor Air Act at the local level, which is educating the city council, educating the citizens of Mesquite about the dangers of secondhand smoke, about best practices and lessons learned from other counties and states and cities that have put these kinds of Clean Indoor Air Acts into place. That's where our job really kind of stops. The national partners, many of them, Heart, Lung, Cancer, right, Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights, they actually have lobbyists that work for them. And so they will lobby and work to try to, push a vote, yes or no, on certain initiatives. Where we have to stop is where it gets into verbally or in written pushing a vote, yes or no, on an initiative. We simply educate people about what best practices are and the benefits, good or bad, of implementing a Clean Indoor Air Act such as the one recommended in Mesquite. So so our funding has not been used for any lobbying purposes, just simply for education and advocacy on this. We were, of course, as the health district, disappointed that this kind of initiative didn't pass. Personally, in another life, I was the chief evaluation for California's tobacco control program back in the early 90s for the first 10 years of that program. It was the first program in this country that was a large, well-funded, $150 million a year tobacco control program. There were a lot of lessons learned, good and bad, from California. One of the things we did learn was that the success, when I've been asked this question a lot over the years, what do you think, Mike, is the best success the California Tobacco Control Program had? And I would say probably the Clean Indoor Air initiatives that we passed. In 1995, we had work sites and restaurants go smoke-free. 1998, bars went smoke-free in California. Even in California, as much of a leader as they've been, there's still a lot of work that remains to be done. And the reason for that is that not only does it protect non-smokers and children from secondhand smoke exposure, but a lot of the sort of unforeseen side effects back in the 90s, we actually saw the more venues you couldn't smoke in, we saw an increase in quitting and cessation rates among folks. We also saw no damage to revenue. In fact, in California, in many cities and several other states, when these kinds of initiatives have gone into effect, if you see any dip in revenue, which is the argument a lot of businesses will say, well, if we go smoke-free, we'll go belly up. You may see a dip in the first quarter, but there's always a rebound effect, and usually the revenue is at least where it was, if not better. Which just from a business perspective, you look at your potential consumer base, you know, that you've got about 80% of the folks now, or maybe 85%, that don't smoke, and you've got about 15% of smokers. So you've got a large non-smoking customer base as is. But anyway, nonetheless, we've seen them work over and over again. So from a health district perspective, we're do it whatever we can to try to protect the public health.
Sure, and that's your job. But we're getting back to funding. The funding that you give this organization, is it to pay their attorneys to go to court and challenge it? Is it to, or you say it was for what, education?
It's simply from the Centers for Disease Control to fund our staff to work in Mesquite and other communities to educate people about the advantages, public health advantages of clean indoor air ordinances.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why the tie-in with this group is basically.
Yeah.
It's weird that they're going after smokers. I mean, listen, I don't smoke, and I don't like to be around people that smoke. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird that they would pick Mesquite, who, and never mentioned, who allows open burning. And if you drive into Mesquite, they're burning open all the time. There's open burning continually, making a mockery of the air. They also, if you want to get your car, if you don't want to have to smog test your car, go to Mesquite and get it registered, because you don't have to smog test cars if you live in Mesquite. I mean, there's a lot of other things that this clean air thing should be looking at, along with, like you say, smokers and secondhand smoke.
Yep.
But it's just like, it, because of these things that are going on, it just seemed like they just focused in on secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
And this is where it was going. And like I say, when it was asked who funded it, she says Southern Nevada Health District. But she did an ad. It was for education, not to pay our lawyer to go fight this in the courtroom.
Exactly. Good question.
And so that was one thing. And I thank you very much for your explanation, because I'll advise the city council of that, because they were curious how that worked.
Thank you. If you have any further questions or need anything else, follow up with me.
I will, Michael. In fact, I do have information that the doctor was talking about through a law enforcement standpoint and marijuana, recreational marijuana in Colorado and in some other states that I have access to, which I will forward to you about. It gets into the connection of marijuana and crime, homicides, vehicular homicides, and many other things that this recreational marijuana has caused them quite a bit of headaches. The district attorney in Denver sent a letter to the effect, I provided it to Sheriff Lombardo, and he says, I know, this is his big nightmare, what happened in Colorado.
Yeah,
but Colorado. I will send that to you also.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Right.
So that was a question, but no recommendation for the board to consider?
Oh, no. I just had that question about...
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So we need a motion for the two items that were discussed that we'd like the board to look at. Tina's recommendation and Dr. Osgood's recommendation on the marijuana. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
For clarification of the record, the recommendation is to have the full board look at the communication aspect of HIPAA relative to 1 October and to let them know that you recommend the support of additional data relative to marijuana and its impact on public health?
I'd phrase it a little different.
Okay, please.
That we recommend that the that Mike's department expand its database in collecting and to include the public health issues associated with the recreational marijuana.
Okay.
Does that summarize it?
Got it.
Yeah.
We don't have a motion. We need a second.
Yeah, I second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Okay, so this takes us to the public health officer's report and staff reports.
Yes, just briefly, you may have seen our health advisory alert, which was sent out, I believe, on Friday. But just for your information, we're currently investigating what we believe to be a norovirus outbreak, although our preliminary labs suggest that, but we're working on confirming those lab results, and we should have confirmation by Wednesday or Thursday this week through our public health lab. But not yesterday, but the previous Sunday, there was reported outbreaks of individuals who had stayed at the Westgate Hotel and with symptoms of norovirus, vomiting, diarrhea, and so on. Several individuals got sick. We have both of our disease investigators as well as our environmental health investigators on site working on this to help remediate, make recommendations for a variety of issues around kitchen, hand washing, their buffet, and so on. We've set up a survey on our website. We've had to date 300 individuals with reported illness, which we're working on verifying. And let's see if what else I have. That is essentially where we're at with it today. I would expect that I would have some additional updates today as staff were out. EH staff were out yesterday going through the kitchen again and some of the other venues that they had not been able to have access to prior. So we'll keep you all posted on that.
May I just make a comment? In the last 3-4 months, the faxes you people send, mm-hmm. about every other page is blurred.
Are you talking about the Han?
The Han.
Yeah, okay.
So you might look at the machine and have somebody clean it out.
Okay.
The email comes in fine.
Okay. That comes out of our Office of Epidemiology and Disease, so I'll check with you. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know.
And Dr. Osgood mentioned that we had received the public health advisory on heat-related illness and death came out in the last couple of days.
Yeah. Yes, we also sent that out. We had a big jump last year. Mm-hmm. July is the worst month, of course, and last year with, I believe there were 8 or 9 days consecutively, Will would like to forget, I think I would, where there was 117. And we had a big jump in the number of reported deaths last year, heat-related deaths, so we're watching it very closely this year.
So are there any other staff reports? Okay, so this moves us to the second public comment portion of our meeting.
Good morning, my name's Ted Wood, and Chair Collins, I have some handouts that will facilitate my comments, if I could hand those out first.
Sure. Can you state your name again and spell it for the record?
It's Ted Wood, and the last name is spelled W-O-O-D.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to address this advisory board and ask them to look into reevaluating the illegal food vendor program. Obviously, illegal vendors are any person that's selling food without a health permit or a business license. And obviously, it's a public health hazard. Customers are at risk for foodborne illness because you don't know what the source of that food is. You don't know the pesticide residue. You don't know the health of the actual vendor that's selling the food. Added to this with street vendors, they're out there in extremely unsanitary conditions. They're selling cut fruit at temperatures above 100 degrees. So I don't think I have to convince you it's a public health hazard. I mean, it's a major function of why there's the Southern Nevada Health District. And I just wanted to tell you what's going on in my neighborhood, which has been a chronic problem. And what happens is the vendors dropped off at a corner with fruit, He's picked up around, he's dropped off around noon and then picked up after dark. The vehicle that's dropping the vendor off is a commercial van with a California license plate. There's many different vendors for the same outfit to man the stand. They have many different umbrellas, different colored umbrellas. So obviously they're doing this at multiple locations as well. And since January of this year, in our neighborhood, at the same corner, that vendor's been there 25 to 30 times. And they've been engaged by the Southern Nevada Health District. But I think there's no citations that are given by the Southern Nevada Health District. So there's really no enforcement going on at all. So what I'm really asking for is the Southern Nevada Health District to reevaluate the illegal vendor program. The status quo cannot be the solution. I mean, there's really no enforcement. It's at the point where it's de facto legal to sell fruit on any corner in Clark County. So what I'm asking for is, if you look at page four of my slides, I think you have to have a multi-agency approach. I think you have to have law enforcement involved. I think you have to have code enforcement. I think you have to have business license and district attorney's office be involved with trying to solve this problem. I know that Metro and business license has tried to address the issue of illegal vendors on the strip that are selling water. I don't know why we can't do that addressing the same issue with fruit vendors. One agency that I did reach out to is the California Rural Crime Prevention Task Force. They were happy to hear from me. They would like to know if there's people from California that are selling fruit here. So obviously maybe we could share information with them. And then the other issue is the program only covers from 8 to 5 right now, Monday through Friday. The vendors know that. They show up on the weekends, or they show up after 5. And really there has to be some kind of enforcement efforts. I mean, we can do citations, but I don't think the health district is actually giving any citations at this point. So there has to be some kind of consequences. One consequence would be to confiscate the fruit and the stand. And in the materials I provided to you is a presentation from the Riverside, California, what they did with their illegal vendor program, as well as the ordinance that they needed to actually, to address this issue. So I think you have to specify what agencies have what authority to address this, but there's got to be a coordination of effort. And certainly there has to be concern about employee safety. Talking to some of the employees at Southern Nevada Health District, they're concerned about engaging these vendors. So obviously we need Metro's assistance or law enforcement assistance to help them do this. And then education and outreach. I'm surprised that someone would buy cut fruit on a stand that's, where it's been sitting at 110 degrees. So obviously we need to educate the public about the health risk, and also that they may be supporting a lot of illegal activities by buying this fruit. So in closing, I would just like to ask you to re-examine the current illegal food vendor program, because I think we can do better and we deserve better. So with that, thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
Who took the lead, which agency took the lead in Riverside to do the background and to put together the program?
I think it's the Environmental Health.
It was the Environmental Health took it?
Yes.
It took the lead to get the data and to work, then bring in the Sheriff's Department, the police, and the City Council.
Yes.
So the lead was not the City Council.
I don't know that, but certainly there's contact information there. Maybe we can contact them, find out how they actually did it. So I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel. If we look at other partnerships between health districts and law enforcement, I'm sure there's a better way to do it.
My question is, isn't there any ordinance or laws already on the books that say that they can't do this?
Yes. That is correct. And part of the education, one of the problems is I called 311 and had Metro show up. The responding officer called me, said they're not breaking any laws. He said he moved them off the sidewalk, moved them to the dirt, but he said they're not breaking any laws. So obviously we need to educate Metro what the laws are.
Well, besides presenting this to the Board of Health, have you talked to the sheriff?
I've talked to the sheriff. I've tried to work through the COP program with the community officer program. Can't get Metro to come out and do anything.
You know, you point another thing that really concerned me. You mentioned in your report here about slavery and trafficking, and that you feel like, or this report indicates that some of these vendors are using that form, that is certainly is against the law as well. But I do think that if this is I have not seen this, and you're not talking about farmers markets, I see those all over. But I'm just saying this would be a health issue and something that maybe we should look at.
I might ask if we could, thank you, Mr. Wood. I would ask Herb to, he's our interim environmental health division director, to speak to what we are doing.
Good morning, Board. I've been working with the illegal vending program for probably 24 years, since I started as a young inspector. And I believe I spoke with Mr. Woods when I was the North Las Vegas supervisor leading the illegal vendor program. As he stated, everything is correct as far as the rampant growth of illegal vendors in the Las Vegas area, and it's particularly in the city of Las Vegas and North Las Vegas. We do have efforts going on to communicate with different agencies when we go out to events after our normal hours. Okay, a lot of times when we go out to events after the normal hours, we're going into places that are very hostile to us. One particular event that I went on myself was on a Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, around 6 o'clock on the north side of town. And it was in regards to goat milk being sold. And when I showed up on site, there was dozens and dozens of carts going into the property, no one coming out. People showing up on horseback, people just walking in. This is 6 o'clock in the morning in a very quiet residential area. I decided, well, it's time to go ahead and call for Metro, because Metro will not come out unless you give them a call on 311. We tried in the past to coordinate with all the Metro locations to set pre-planned dates when we wanted to go out, when we knew there was an activity going on. Metro said, listen, we would love to support you, but we have other areas that we have to respond to, i.e. 911 complaints, issues that are associated with that. So if they have the time in their schedule, they would respond to a 311. I performed the 311. It took 90 minutes for Metro to come out. When I went down into the site, I had four officers with me. So that told me that they knew about the area even before I went out there, because normally just one officer shows up for a 311 call. Went out there, I have to say, there was about 100 people back there. I'm not going to go back there, and Metro didn't want to go back there into the crowd where they were obviously drinking and consuming the goat milk, because it would have created a really bad situation at that time. Now, in general, we do educate whenever we go out. We provide literature that we have. We talk about farmers markets. We go ahead and talk about how they can go ahead and permit. We do confiscate their product, but we can't go ahead and touch any equipment, any type of vehicle support that they have. A lot of times we'll go out on a site and they'll have a huge pickup truck with 700-800 pounds of fruit on there. There's no way that we can go ahead and pull that out. We're put into situations that we would love to go ahead and address it. But we do go ahead. Now, I know that we don't often give citations, but we do write them up every time we see them. We let them know, we get a copy of their name, we ask for a license, and we've had incidents where we ask for license I spoke some Spanish at a place, and the individual was communicating with me in English, no problem, until I asked for his license. When he decided that he didn't want to give me a license, he turned to the audience because it was outside a school ground, and he was selling corn on the cob, you know, spin wheels, fast food that kids like to eat. But everything that he had there, the sanitary conditions were indisputable, terrible, you know, and we had to go ahead and try to calm the crowd down, and we couldn't take his stuff, the ice and the corn. And when we do confiscate, we go ahead and destroy it. We don't give it back to the community. We have been doing all of that type of stuff for a very long time, and we do coordinate efforts, like I said in the beginning, when the issue is in a known area that we have to go with the city, code enforcement, metro, or in North Las Vegas. And there's a lot of issues associated with the illegal vending.
What I might suggest is we could agendize this item for the next meeting, and we can discuss it further. What I also might suggest is we thank you, Mr. Wood, for the document provided. We can take a look at that and look at lessons learned from Riverside. Share with Herb to see if there's anything else that that we aren't doing that we could be doing around this, given some of the obstacles that Herb outlined. But typically we don't respond at length to public comments, but we'd be happy to agendize it so we could have a further discussion.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, Mr. Wood. And that would be my recommendation, that we could agendize this item, that we do agendize this item, and in the time ensuing time between our next meeting, we'll be able to get some more support documentation from staff regarding this matter.
Be happy to. Thank you.
Isn't there a checkpoint to get into the state from out of state? You have to go through, and they don't allow produce to come into the state, or am I thinking of something else?
The other way around.
Yeah.
It's going
to California. Yeah. The bug stations, as we used to refer to them as.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of our agenda.
Just confirm that there's no more public comment.
Oh, is there any more public comment? Okay. Seeing none. That brings us to the point where we can adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right.
Second.
I don't believe you need a second to. No.
You don't? Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So we adjourned.
Thank you.